Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Salvation Army Shelter opens up temporarily. With freezing temperatures moving through the Permian Basin in the early hours of Wednesday, the Odessa Salvation Army Shelter opened up for the first time this winter on Tuesday night due to the frigid temperatures. However, Odessa Salvation Army Major Luis Melendez stressed that the shelter will only be open if the temperatures fall below 32 degrees and that the shelter is only at a limited capacity due to COVID. After 2 years of being closed, we finally got cleared from the fire marshal to open, Melendez said. We will be opening for inclement weather on an emergency basis only. Melinda said that only 3 people stayed at the shelter on Tuesday night. We do have an accommodation of 20 to 25, Melinda said. Because of COVID, we can't be at full capacity. There's still a reasonable amount, so we can accommodate. We have a side for men and women, a men's dorm, and a woman's dorm. A staff shortage at the Odessa Salvation Army has made it difficult to open up every day. I'm moving staff around, Melinda said. I don't have volunteers this time or a full staff to run the shelter 7 days a week, so we're not officially open for sheltering. We're just going to consider the inclement weather nights, and I think we'll have a night or two before we start seeing some normalcy with the weather. We're addressing it one day at a time. Melinda said he is hopeful that Salvation Army can open 7 days a week once they get more staffers. It's just a matter of staffing to reopen the shelter, Melinda said. That'll happen in due time. I can't give a date for that because I only have one part-timer, so it's pretty hard to run a 7-day shelter with only one 29-hour employee. So I have to move my employees around, which is only 9 of us, so we're understaffed. Melinda says he anticipated the shelter to return open on Wednesday night, as temperatures were expected to stay below freezing. Last night, I don't think it got as cold until the early morning, but we had a prep day to get everything ready, Melinda said. In the 7 months that I've been here, we have been serving supper from 5 to 6 p.m., so that stands, and then we'll do intake for those that need a warm place to stay out of the streets due to dropping weather temperatures. That's basically it. Melinda said everything went smooth on Tuesday night. There were no reports of anything, so it went well, Melinda said. It was just 3 guys. I wish it could have been more, but that's okay. We'll start little by little. He anticipates that there will be more people in the next day or so, should temperatures continue to stay below freezing. Once the word spreads and it's out in the news, people will be more aware, because this has been a long time closed and will probably have a few more, Melinda said. Melinda's also stressed that the community is always welcome to donate. If the community is willing to assist, we'll always take White House for donations and white twin-size bedding, Melinda said. It's always needed. We have enough for the number, but we'll eventually need some more. That's always a good thing to have. The Salvation Army of Odessa is located at 810 East 11th Street and can be reached at 432-332-0738. For more information, go to https://www.salvationarmytexas.org/odessa/. COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 35,108 total cases, 601 deaths. Midland County, 34,384 total cases, 438 deaths. Texas, 6,050,828 total cases, 78,332 deaths. U.S. cases, 72,310,575 total confirmed and 870,195 deaths. Find out more at COVIDinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its daily COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Wednesday. 93 COVID patients in-house, med-surg non-critical, 70 COVID patients, critical care, 23 COVID patients, 19 unvaccinated, 2 vaccinated, 3 unknown, 17 COVID patients on ventilator, 15 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 1 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 20 years to 98 years old. COVID patients from outside Ector County, 1 from Albuquerque, New Mexico, 1 from Andrews, 1 from Artesia, New Mexico, 1 from Balmoray, 1 from Crane, 1 from Farmington, New Mexico, 1 from Fort Stockton, 6 from Midland, 1 from Pecos, and 1 from Saragossa. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. The City of Odessa, in partnership with DOCS Health, has scheduled drive-through COVID-19 testing from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday at the UTPB Community Sports Fields parking lot located at 191 and Loop 338. The site will have both PCR tests and rapid antigen tests available. This will be the second COVID-19 testing site set up by the city with no out-of-pocket costs. No appointments needed. However, online registration is available. Testing is subject to daily availability of material. PCR test results are expected within 2 to 3 days in most cases, and rapid test results will be a 15 to 20 minute wait at the site, or you can receive your test results via text message. To pre-register, visit docshealthtesting.com or text DOCSTX to 41411. Health insurance information will be requested if available. For more information, call the Docs Health Call Center at 267-362-5207. Board approves 2 new degrees. The Odessa College Board of Trustees approved a new Associate of Applied Science degree in Construction Management and a Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences in Early Childhood Education. Vice President of Instruction Tremaine Anderson said the Construction Management degree would be offered in fall 2022 and the Early Childhood Education Bachelor's degree in 2023. Both professions are in high demand. Information from the meeting detailed. Odessa College currently has 2 BAAS degrees in automation and an ExxonMobil BAAS in leadership and management with an entrepreneurship and occupational health and safety track. In 2021, Anderson said State House Bill 3348 gave community colleges the option to have up to 5 bachelor's degrees. This will give OC3. The board also accepted the resignation of member Larry Johnson. Chair Gary Johnson said Larry Johnson told him he needed to step down. He said Johnson has been on the board for 4.5 or 5 years. Gary Johnson said because the college and other entities are in the redistricting process right now, he wants to wait until they get through that to see what the changes in the district are. He said he expects that to be finalized by this summer. Trustees also approved board policy changes. One of them impacts the number of semester credit hours professors teach. The change is the result of a Southern Association of Colleges and Schools visit. Vice President for Institutional Effectiveness, Janice Hicks, said this would change the number of semester credit hours from 15 to 18 as a standard load. She said 80 to 90% of the professors already teach 18 hours and some more. The overload under the new policy is 24, she said. The change aligns with the college's 8-week courses, and it will increase faculty pay. Geology instructor Josh Hart said he and several other faculty members are concerned about the workload and the pay not adding up. Hart said they had not heard about the change until January 25th, the day of the board meeting. Gary Johnson said the pay could be changed in the budget process. The board also got an update on the OC Promise Program. Obituary. Charles Lewis Ellithorpe, Odessa. Charles Lewis Ellithorpe, age 73, passed from this life on January 22nd in Odessa, Texas, with his daughters by his side. He was born June 22nd, 1948 in Odessa to Charles Pat Ellithorpe and Wanda McAfee Ellithorpe. He is survived by his daughters Beth and husband David Gibson, Amy and husband Rex Scown, and many grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents and his brother Michael Ellithorpe. Thanks go out to his caregivers at the Courtyards and Heart to Heart Hospice. The care they provided him is greatly appreciated. Memorial donations may be made to Heart to Heart Hospice. We will always love and remember our dad who cared so deeply for us. And the greatest of these is love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. A memorial in his honor will be held Friday, January 28th at 3914 Kenwood Drive, Odessa. From 4 to 8 p.m., come and go. Death notices Mary Jo Clendenin, Goldsmith. Mary Jo Clendenin, 76, died Thursday, January 20th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Melissa Catherine Downs, Meadow Lakes. Melissa Catherine Downs, 88, of Meadow Lakes, died Thursday, January 20th in Meadow Lakes. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. February 25th at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, Odessa, Texas. Arrangements are by Clements Wilcox Funeral Home of Marble Falls. Billy Garner Gamble, Odessa. Billy Garner Gamble, 62, died Sunday, January 16th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Santos Gonzalez III, Odessa. Santos Gonzalez III, 77, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 22nd, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 28th, at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Los Angeles section of Ector County Cemetery. The family will receive friends for visitation on Thursday, January 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. The rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Director of Odessa. Manuel Gutierrez Guzman, Odessa. Manuel Gutierrez Guzman, 75, died Monday, January 17th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Mia Jocelyn Hermosilla, Odessa. Mia Jocelyn Hermosilla, 21 of Odessa, died Saturday, January 22nd in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Friday, January 28th at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Mark Woodruff is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jerry Francis Jackson, Midland. Jerry Francis Jackson, 83, died Friday, January 7th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Sheena Mae Jarrell, Odessa. Sheena Mae Jarrell, 65, died Friday, January 21st in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Patricia Ann Munn Cotton. Patricia Ann Munn Cotton, 69, died Friday, January 21st in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Alma Yolanda Pena, Odessa. Alma Yolanda Pena, 70, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 20th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 28th at American Heritage Funeral Home, burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Victor Mendoza is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Denise Rackley, Odessa. Denise Rackley, 67, of Odessa, died Monday, January 24th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 29th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Patricio Zepeda, 64, died Sunday, January 20th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland.
This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 26th, from the Health and Wellness section. Commentary: you shouldn't wait to take care of wounds. As we move forward through 2022, many of us have made New Year resolutions, and some of us may have already slipped up, like me. The Wound Management Center is continually striving to stay up with our resolution to help our community with wounds that are hard to heal. We learned many things through the past 2 years, but the one that we are focused on is healing can't wait. If you have a wound that will not heal normally, or a wound that you have been trying to treat at home for more than a month, we urge you, please don't wait any longer. Over the past 2 years, nationwide, we have seen an increase of 50% in the number of amputations due to wounds that were left untreated. If you have diabetes or heart disease, this number can be incredibly intimidating. There is a solution, and that is early treatment. Like many illnesses, the quicker you have your wound treated, the higher chance there is that amputation will not be necessary. The specialized team at the Wound Management Center, led by Dr. Melissa Allworth, stands ready to help you today. There is no referral necessary. This means you can call us at 432-221-4850. Again, that number is 432-221-4850 for an appointment. We will build a specialized treatment plan around your wound and put you on the road to healing. Our approach uses many specialized treatments that are specific to a wound management center. As the calendar turns to February, Heart Awareness Month is upon us. If you have high blood pressure or any other heart condition, do not forget to check on your legs and feet. Do they feel colder than the rest of your body? Do you notice any discoloration or loss of feeling in your legs? Do your legs sometimes weep, clear fluid? These are all signs of poor circulation. Many times, these are the early warning signs prior to a wound developing on a leg. If you have any of these, please contact your health care provider today. Healing can't wait. Brad Robinson, author of his commentary, is the Wound Management Center Program Director. This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, January 26, from the Health and Wellness section. Pro-parent. Working through whining behavior. This article is written by Lindsay Balderas. When children whine, it typically sends parents into a frantic or frustrated flurry of action. Many parents respond by giving the child what they need as quickly as possible to make the unpleasant sound of whining stop. Others may ignore the whining for as long as possible as it grows louder and more persistent. The important thing to understand about whining is that it is a form of communication. When children are overwhelmed by emotions, overstimulated by sensory input, or have poor communication skills, they may use whining to get their needs met. From an evolutionary perspective, it is clear that young children adapted this skill in order to survive when they were not able to communicate using language. This is carried on with our young and may even continue for some children once they are fully capable of speaking, because it has become a comfortable and easy way of getting needs met. When your child whines, it is important not to react too quickly. First, pause and think for a moment about the situation. What is your child trying to communicate? Then get on your child's eye level. Let them know that you do not like the sound of the whiny voice and it is hard to understand them when they use it. Ask your child to repeat what they need using their normal voice so that you can help them. If your child is still learning how to communicate, help them find the words needed and support their language with pointing and gestures. Once the child communicates using their normal tone and voice, thank them for asking nicely for what they need and quickly provide the item or interaction they were trying to request. Another important thing to realize if your child is whining often is that your behaviors and lack of response to their attempts at communication can lead to increased whining. If you are often zoned out on your phone or other device and easily tune out your child, they may have learned to resort to whining in order to get your attention more effectively. When you notice your child whining, check yourself to make sure you were not inadvertently ignoring their attempts to communicate. If you were, make sure to apologize and then prompt them to ask you again using their normal, not whiny voice. Set reminders or time limits on your devices in order to increase your uninterrupted communication time with your child. Remember to refrain from giving the child what they want when they use a whiny voice to make their request. It may be uncomfortable for the moment, but be firm and require the child to stop using the whining voice and instead using their normal voice in order to receive the item or interaction they are wanting. It may take more time in the beginning because the child may not want to give up on the whining or may not believe that they will get what their needs met without whining. As time goes and the correct behavior is reinforced, they will use the whining less and less frequently until they find it is no longer necessary to use it. Changing behavior takes time, but with some consistency, your child will see that clear communication is the best way to get their needs met. This article comes from Lindsay Balderas at UTPB.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Ovary portion, menopause, arteriosclerosis. Dear Dr. Roach, I read that if a small portion of one ovary is left in after a hysterectomy, the woman is protected from both menopause and arteriosclerosis. Is this true? Answer. There's a little bit of truth there. The ovaries make estrogen, and it's the loss of estrogen that stops the menstrual periods and causes the symptoms most women have at menopause. Estrogen also has some protective effect against the development of blockages of the arteries, arteriosclerosis. Removal of only part of an ovary is unusual, but the remainder can still make estrogen, which means menopause won't come immediately, as it usually does after the removal of both ovaries. However, ovaries eventually stop making estrogen on their own, and even women with normally functioning ovaries can certainly develop blockages in the arteries and even heart attacks. As always, if it sounds too good to believe, it probably is.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 27th. Man's estrangement from son compounded by incarceration. Dear Abby, my 38-year-old son is in jail for meth. He's been an addict for many years. I tried several times to help him, but he always relapsed. He has been in rehab. His mother and I divorced when he was 7. He was a great kid until the divorce. After that, he became distant and wouldn't talk much to me. His mother tried to make up for the divorce by doing everything for him. When I wanted him to do something, like his homework, he would just sit and stare. I couldn't punish him because I was afraid he wouldn't want to come to my place when it was my weekend to have him. I did things with him and tried to show him I loved him, but I think he blamed me for the divorce. It was my wife who wanted it. I don't think he ever loved me like a son normally loves his father, the way I loved and respected mine. He rejected any advice I tried to offer and paid no attention when I tried to teach him something. I'm trying to decide if I want to contact him. I feel like I have always had to do the heavy lifting to try to have a relationship with him, and he made no effort at all to sustain one with me. If I never heard from him again, I really wouldn't miss him. All he has ever been is a taker. So I'm asking, should I bother trying to get in contact with him while he's in jail? Signed, Frustrated Father in Texas. Dear Father, your son is sick, an addict. That he is in jail will hopefully mean he can attain sobriety. Reach out to him one more time. He may believe you deserted him and his mother because she allowed him to believe it, which would explain his attitude toward you all these years. It might be of some benefit to him to be reminded that you love him and care about his well-being. Once he is clean, he may have a different attitude where you are concerned. If not, at least you tried. Dear Abby, I have ended a 4-year romantic relationship. When times were good, they were very good, I had some of the most joyful and wonderful experiences of my life with him, my children, and my family. We were planning to spend the rest of our lives together. However, when the going got rough, he started seeing other women and later was hateful to one of my tween children. Even as I write that last part, I am appalled. I know in my head the relationship had to end, yet I continued to cry over the loss every day, and my sleep remains disrupted. What's the matter with me that I'm pining over a man who turned so sour? I should feel relieved, right? How can I help myself move through this? Signed, Too Many Tears. Dear Tears, I sympathize with your disappointment. We have all been there. Now wipe your nose, dry those tears, and remind yourself that, had the romance continued, you might have married someone who would verbally abuse your children and cheat on you. You aren't crying over the loss of him as much as grieving the loss of a dream that didn't come to fruition. Stay busy and focus harder on looking ahead, and you will move through this more quickly.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.